At this time of year, we like to chat with some of the UK's leading sight loss charity chief executives. We look back at 2024 and ahead to 2025. Today, it's Elena McGregor from British Blind Sports. So here we are once again at this time. I can't believe we're here now, but there you go. 2024 then for British Blind Sport. How has the year been?
It's been very busy. It does feel like in a blink of an eye that you and I had this conversation last year. We were just post the IBSA World Games, and we've been doing a lot of work because of the Games. And then really also just getting back into our day-to-day, because the Games took up so much of our time in the run-up to the actual event and then post the event. It's getting that balance between making sure we maximise the opportunity, but also don't forget our bread and butter work. Financially, we've been very lucky because Sport England made a real strong commitment to us, and that's been hugely helpful. It's helped us become more resilient, and it's had us not worrying about the wolves at the door so much this year. Not to say that things can't change quite rapidly, you know, with an economic crisis. So I'm always mindful of that. We are still a very small organisation, and so much is expected of us. You know, there's 2 million people living with sight loss in the UK, and sometimes I feel like we're just touching the surface. And I've got such a dedicated staff base of people wanting to always do more. But we have to measure that against what can we do that's valuable and having the biggest impact. And that challenge is trying to get that balance and making sure everyone feels that they are making a valuable impact in the lives of people with sight loss.
Those lives that you talk about, Elena, as well, you're talking from little tots to, you know, right through the age range as well. It's helping more blind and partially sighted people into sport, into activities, the mental health benefits, the physical benefits as well. It's making places accessible, you know, getting the word out there to the public, the private sector about accessibility. It's a huge task.
We try to empower, we try to connect, we try to educate. And so I've got a staff team of 8 at the moment. At our most, we're 12, which is when we've got different projects running and stuff. But within that, you know, we do workforce development, we do research, we do delivery, we do lots of partnership working, assisting a national governing body of sport with their accessibility to their website, to something like something real full-on delivery with that partner. And what we want to do, and what we have done a lot of this year, is take time to reflect, you know, where are we making the biggest impact? Are we actually helping our community enough? Are we influencing others so that they can make impact? And it can be mind-boggling, but, you know, like I said, we've got real dedicated staff. We've got some really good knowledge and experience within the team. So it's about trusting people to get on with it and making sure that we are staying on track with our own strategy as well as helping others.
In terms of, you know, projects or events for 2024, have there been some standout ones for you?
We worked with a couple of volunteers to set up UK Showdown, and Showdown being a sport for specifically for blind and partially sighted people, and it's part of the IBSA programme. And we negotiated with Birmingham City Council that the tables that were used for the games, 8 tables, and they're about £2,000 each, could be gifted to us. And then we've worked with clubs across the UK to gift those tables, but then to make sure they are being used in a way that they can set up their own league. So, you know, a big standout thing for us is the commitment that we've seen from those volunteers, particularly a gentleman called Robin and another gentleman called Tommy. So we held our first tournament in the summer, and people travelled from all over the place to it, to Warwickshire. And we were at the Variety Club's Disability Sports Awards, and UK Showdown were one of the nominees for innovation and development. And it just seeing a sport grow and knowing that we've really shaped that and made that happen is very comforting to me.
And you're also continuing with the ever popular Have a Go days, where people can come along and try different sports. And more importantly, if they like those sports, the work's been done to make sure they can carry on those in their local areas.
The Have a Go days, the challenge is to make sure that we don't have people come along, have a good day, and then not have local opportunities to pick up, like you've just mentioned. So, you know, some of the national governing bodies say, well, can we come along and we want to show people our sport? And the first thing we say is, well, what do you offer locally? It's almost like going to the fun fair and then going, that was great, I'll see you in a year's time. We don't want that. We want people to think, I really enjoyed this, where can I continue to do this? So it's about making sure that we do our research and that we've got partners there who are able to deliver beyond the actual day itself. But yes, we have done have-a-go days this year. I think we did about 8 altogether. And that's on top of our swimming gala and our showdown event and various other bits and pieces that we do.
If we look into 2025 then, what kind of things do you have planned? I mean, there'll be ongoing stuff as well. Anything big on the horizon for you?
Yeah, 2025 is a pretty big year for us because it's actually our 50th anniversary year and we're really excited about that. So we've been working with the National Paralympic Heritage Trust on doing some delivery around the history of British blind sport. But there's an idea that we change up our have-a-go days in a slight way to be more commemorative of our 50th anniversary. And also I'm working with Laura, who's on our comms team, about identifying past athletes. I mean, people are always a Paralympian. They'll always say they're still an athlete or an ex-athlete, but people that have really helped change blind and partially sighted sport, to interview those people, for them to help us look back over the last 50 years. And again, I can't name names at the moment, but there's already quite a few people out there that I think you have made such a difference to our community and to people's perception of disability sport that I want to be able to interview them in our podcast series for 2025.
But there's going to be a thing to look forward to in 2025, and it's a 50th anniversary. That's amazing. You think how far, you know, British blind sport has come, I suppose, in those years, you know, and the changes you've made to people's lives. And as you say, look back at the IBSA Games, which were hugely successful as well, and a mammoth piece of work for you.
Yeah, I think what's really scary for me, Alan, is that I will have been with the organisation in February for 15 of those 50 years. I just didn't ever think I would have been in the role for this long. So I think it's interesting as well, because people say, oh, you know, from a personal point of view, oh, you've achieved so much. And I look and I see how many people still need our support. And I just think, gosh, if this was a ladder, I'm only about 3 rungs up. And I think there's another, you know, 97 rungs to go before I'm really happy. I'm always passionate about what we do, and I've never lost that passion. And that's because we've got so many people that we need to help. And so many people, you touched on mental health. We've got so many people that we know that participating in sport and getting physically more active is actually makes a difference to their whole life, not just participating in the moment.
It's an interesting point you make there about your community out there, the customers, the people you're there for as well. And I've spoken to many chief execs over the years and I've said, you know, what would be a success? And many of them say it would be a success if we didn't exist anymore because we've done our job. But, you know, the work, as you say, goes on.
Oh, yeah. And by 2050, we'll have 4 million people living with sight loss in the UK. And I completely agree. I've always said that what is successful is if national disability sports organisations didn't exist because disability sport was just integrated from cradle to grave. But that just isn't happening in the foreseeable. And then looking at that number, then I can't see that we're not going to be here for some time. But yes, in an ideal world, I don't think a British blind sport should exist. I think disability training in universities for teachers should happen. Children that go to primary schools, disability equal play, as the Paralympics new program is called, is that should have exactly the same opportunity as children without sight loss. So yeah, I still think that we've got a very, very long way to go, unfortunately.
If I was to ask you for what would you say was the highlight of 2024 from your perspective for the charity, what would you say that could be?
Knowing that we've achieved our targets and succeeded and exceeded over our targets of how many people we've reached this year, that we're in a good financial position, I think that's a highlight generally. We've been acknowledged as a Tier 3 Sport England organisation. And for those listeners that aren't aware, there are 3 tiers in terms of governance, and Tier 3 is the top tier. And Sarah, who's our governance officer, has done a huge amount of work to get us there. So that in itself is something that makes us more robust, and I'm really proud of. From a personal point of view, I'm very hands-off now with our community. You've got me, then you've got our senior leadership team, and then you've got our delivery team, and you've got our admin. So, you know, I don't often get the opportunity to go to things like our Have a Go Days and our events, but I did actually go to our swimming gala. And when I do go to events, I always say to the team, if you don't need me, do you mind if I just go and chat to the families? And a highlight for me was definitely that this year. I spoke to numerous parents about their child participating in the day and just how exciting it was. You know, one family had travelled an awful long way because, and they'd only just found out about it through somebody else. So we've still got lots of, you know, messaging to do there. And there was a little girl who was 5, nearly 6. It was her first swimming gala. She was really excited that she was with other children with sight loss because she goes to a mainstream school. Eliza and Scarlett, the twins that are Paralympians now, they came as guests and I was chatting away to them and I said to them, do you know, girls, I do remember giving you a medal with Braille on some years ago. And they were like, yeah, it was in 2015 and it was the first time we'd ever got a medal with Braille on it, and we were really proud of it and it was our first swimming gala. And I'm thinking, and wow, these two are now representing our country. So with them and then that little 5-year-old girl and another little 7-year-old and another little boy that I met, and their mums and dads, I'm just like, this is why we're here.
Well, Elena, everyone here at RNIB Connect Radio would like to wish you, the staff, and your customers as well at British Blind Sport a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and we look forward to continuing to work with you through 2025.
And thank you too for your continued and wonderful support, Alan, and all the team at RNIB Connect. We really appreciate it.